It's good that we can be here this morning to worship God together and to enjoy a time of fellowship with each other also. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul writing there says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's one of those passages maybe you hear a lot of times and people use it and talk about it, and they should. That's a very good thing that they do, but sometimes people take this particular passage out of its context and apply it in some ways that it doesn't fit with what it actually means. And we're going to look at this passage this morning, but we're going to look at the idea of why Paul wrote the things that he did. Now, sometimes in my life I've thought about, you know, if something goes wrong, things are going bad, and how can I get an encouragement of strength? Well, usually I do that by reading the book of Philippians. And you look around in our world today, and Paul understood in his day how bad things can get sometimes. And we look in our day also, and we see stress in life. It's a fact of everyday life, where we live and when we live. And some people say, well, it's never been as bad as it is now. But in reality, it's always been that way. Mainly the difference is that we just have better communication and we know more about it now. But you look on, you know, turn on the TV, the radio, get on the internet, whatever you want to do, and constantly there's bad news bombarding us everywhere we live. Lives falling apart as they go. People go from one crisis to another. There's immorality, there's dishonesty, there's crime and all of those other things that go on. And sometimes maybe we just get to the point where we just throw up our hands and say, forget about it, I'm going to live the way I want. Well, the Apostle Paul could have done that, but he didn't. And in the book of Philippians, of course, he wanted us to understand we can take refuge, but not in the things that some people want to do today. There are those that take refuge and in alcohol and drugs, legal and illegal, and all kinds of things, and sometimes end up even with suicide because they can't somehow seemingly deal with the problems that are around. And we know that that's the situation because we look in our world and it goes on all of the time. But in reality, it's always been that way. When human beings turn away from God, there is no greatness that's going to last for very long. We may have a good time occasionally, but it's not going to last if we turn away from the source of our power and understanding. People seek the solutions and to problems and stresses in the world very often in the wrong place. But we have also, as Christians, we're not guaranteed or promised by God that If we live in this life and we're Christians, that somehow we'll be delivered from all the stress and problems and troubles that come upon us. God never promised that. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so it's going to happen. We're going to go through bad and difficult times in life. But we have to look at the idea that we also live that way. And as long as this earth stands, it's going to be that way because we can't control what other people do or say about us or how they live. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul says there, he says that you may become, verse 14, says, do all things without murmurings and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. Well, we look at ourselves and think, well, I am a light in the world. How can that be? Well, it's not because of our goodness, but because if we believe in the Lord and we follow Him, we show that light, the reflected light of Christ, in our lives every day. And in Christ, we have the advantage over the world because, as we said when we began, Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now notice he didn't say, I can do all things. He showed that it was not him that did it. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, who was in prison at the time, incidentally, so you think about that, he didn't want to be in prison. He wanted to be out and going about and preaching and teaching and serving God. And yet, he was in prison and he wrote this letter, one of the most uplifting things that's ever been written in the Word of God. And so think about that, how he was dealing with the stress of what he was doing at that time. And of course, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, guided him to do so. And Philippians chapter 1, and verse 9, it says, this I pray, that your love may abound, and yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment, such you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. The idea there, when we're facing the difficulties and stress of life, he says we're to be strengthened, and where that strength is found. In verse 9 he says, and this did I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment. The knowledge and the discernment of God gives us the ability to utilize the privilege and the opportunity that we as Christians have to be builded up and strengthened in Christ, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, all of those areas. God and His Word is going to give us a strength and an understanding that the world is not promised. We also must make our minds up that we're going to do the best that we can to be strong, even in the face of stress and difficulty and problem. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Apostle Paul says there that God did not give us a mind of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. You know, God gives that to us if we're faithful to Him. If we are willing to follow the things He commands, He's going to give us that kind of mind and heart, even in spite of the problems and troubles that we often face. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, When Moses had died and Joshua had been chosen to be the leader of the people of Israel, not only to lead them, but to lead them across the Jordan River and go over and take the land of Canaan, and would lead the army to do so. And God told Joshua, everywhere you go, everywhere the sole of your foot is, He says, I've given you that land. So be strong and of good courage. And so that strength comes not because of how good we are, how powerful we are, or what a great man Joshua was in his time, but because God was with him and He will be with us also. All of these things work together when we first lean upon Jesus and follow Him. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are faithful to Him in their ways. And so God wants us to be faithful. And so that's part of how we deal with the stress and problem of life. Now, verse 10 of Philippians chapter 1 says, after talking about knowledge and all discernment, he says, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of God. We approve of those things that are excellent. Well, first of all, we have to know what is excellent and what isn't. Well, that's where the Word of God is. That's where it's why we study and learn and put it into practice each day. Now notice he wants us to put it into practice and also put it to the test. Strength is found in seeking the things that are right and good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul says, try all things. In other words, put God's message to the test in our lives and see if it works, and we know that it will. So he tells us to do that. And that elevates us to an understanding rather than trying to tear each other down, but standing for right and faith and the strength which the Lord gives to us. Now, you turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul there says, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. So what are we supposed to do? We're to seek the things of God, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. That's where he went after his death and burial and resurrection. He ascended back to the Father, to sit on the throne next to his Father. So he says in verse 2, Colossians chapter 3, he says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then you shall also be with him manifested in glory. So if we set our minds, our hearts, and everything on Christ and on God in this life, when Christ comes again, we'll be manifested in glory with him for all of eternity. And so God has promised that, and if we hold on to it and be faithful, he's going to fulfill his promise. Because when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. The person who revels in the idea of the cheapness of life and all of the things that the life has to offer rather than what God wants is going to be drained ultimately of his spirituality and his willingness to stand for right and good. And then, of course, the guilt is going to come upon him because he understands deep down that he's not doing the will of God. But we can be void of offense, as it says in this particular passage, void of offense unto the day of Christ. Well, how do we do that? To dedicate ourselves in following the Word of God, his will, to the best of our ability, and to attempt to be as much Christ-like as we can in everyday life, in our own life, and dealing with others around us, and with serving God. So it's a matter of priority that God wants us to do these things. Now, turn now over to Philippians chapter 3. And we're looking in the book of Philippians because this is where Paul, even though he was in prison, was trying to build himself up as well as everybody else around him, those who may have been suffering and persecution and other things, and the people in the church at Philippi. Chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold for that which also I was laid hold on by Christ. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now look at this passage, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained. Now, Paul was in prison, and he is well aware of the fact that he could be taken out and put to death at any time. He wasn't at this time, but God spared him for a few more years. But he didn't know that at the time. He says, not that I've yet obtained or already made perfect. He knew that he was not complete in his life yet, but he knew that it was going to come at some time. But he says then in verse 12, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. In other words, I may be in prison and things may be going very badly right now, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to be faithful. Faithful all the way to the end. And so we look at that, and no doubt many of us have set certain goals in our lives. And Paul says, I can see that goal ahead, so I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on and be faithful. And God wants us to do the same thing. Excuse me. Sometimes we do set a goal in our life, and sometimes we maybe want more money or bigger house or whatever it might be in life. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves unless that takes the place of doing the will of God. When that takes place of doing the will of God, we push God out of the way and put our way in that way. Well, Paul knew where he was going because he had the ultimate goal ahead of him. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. Now, Paul had a great deal to do in forgetting the things behind. He had been an intense persecutor of the church when he was known as Saul of Tarsus. Before Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he thought it was his goal in life to destroy Christianity. He had arrested and imprisoned and even put to death Christians. And he had done that with a clear conscience because he really believed he was doing right. So when Paul says there in verse 13, he says, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things that are before, in other words, ahead of him. He says then in verse 14, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So that's what God wanted Paul to do. That's what Paul wrote to you and me and the church at Philippi to do also. Very little in life is accomplished without at least trying to look forward and looking in the direction that God wants us to do. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer says there, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It goes on to say that he bore the cross, he despised the shame of it, but he went through with it to fulfill God's plan to give you and me eternal life. Well, if Jesus was willing to hold on to the end and go through all of that suffering physically and spiritually, emotionally, and everything that he did for you and me, it's not very much that he requires of us to be able to have eternal life with him. So we leave behind the things that would hold us back. Paul could have been held back by all those things he had done and by the regret and by the shame of it. And yet he didn't. He did not let that hold him back. Now, he didn't forget it because he recognized it and he reminds people of what he had been before, but by the grace of God, what he had become. And we can do the same thing. Now, we turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 6. He says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Strength also comes in time of stress and difficulty, because it's found in prayer. Notice in verse 6, in nothing be anxious. In other words, don't be overly anxious with the problems and troubles and the things of this life. Yes, sometimes we worry about them, and we all do. But he says, don't be overly anxious in that, but replace it with something else. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, sometimes we pray, and maybe we ask for a lot of things, and we don't take time to thank God for what he has done for us. We need both of those. And it's a conscious communication with God of the things that we need and the things that we desire. Now, God doesn't need our prayers. He knows what we think, what we need, and what we want already. But because he is our God and we are his children, he wants us to ask him for those things. And he says then in that verse 7, he says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Or your mind, your thoughts, he's going to take care of those things for us, but we have to be willing to follow him. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, Paul there says, pray without ceasing. In other words, never give up on prayer. Continue in it every day. And that's a source of strength and power which God gives to all of us. Jesus approached his trials when he was doing so, he prayed. In Matthew chapter 4, when he was about to start his personal ministry upon the earth, he went off into the wilderness and fasted and prayed for 40 days. Now the devil came to him at the end of that time and tempted him, but he had prepared himself through fasting and prayer to be able to stand upon himself and upon the power of God. And each time the devil tempted him, he went back to the Word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. And again, it is written. And so he had that power because he dedicated himself to God. Also in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the crucifixion, the last thing he did there was go out and pray. And the book of Luke says sweat came down as great drops of blood from his head because of his dedication and his prayer. And so Philippians chapter 4 says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants to hear from us because we are his children. We look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 now. The next concept and idea that Paul gives to us of overcoming those things is, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. The things which you have both learned and received and heard and saw in me, that these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your thought of me, wherein you did indeed take thought, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. Now notice that. He says, whatever things are right and lovely and all of these other things, he says, think on those things. Put your mind and heart on these things that are good and right. Now, that's not going to automatically take away all our problems and troubles, but it'll cause us to understand that if our faith is in God, he's going to help us to get over the troubles and problems of life. Set our minds on these things first. And verse 9 says, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those are two things there. Verse 8, he says, think on these things. In other words, have it in our mind and heart. And verse 9 says, these things do. In other words, carry out what you have talked about in your mind and thought about and prayed about. Allow God to take his part. Allow him to direct our lives, and God's going to be with us. Strength is found by proper discernment between good and evil. And of course, the idea of being willing to accept whatever is ahead of us and doing the best we can with it. Again, Paul was in prison. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be locked up and not able to go out and teach and serve and do the things that he did. But he accepted it and was content to the point where he would do the best that he could in the situation that he was. In verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased, I know also how to abound, and in everything and in all things I have learned the secret both to be filled and to be hungry, and to abound and to be in want. And that's where he says then, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a great example for us to realize God wants to bless us, but we have to put our faith and our trust in him. And Paul said, even though I'm in prison, I still trust God all the way to the end. He says, I can be content. Now, he did not say, I can be complacent. I can just kind of lay back and do nothing and not worry about it. He says, I'm content. As long as God allows me to be alive and I am here, I'm going to do the best that I can. And that's the idea of contentment. And that's different from complacency, where we just kind of let things go and don't worry about it. He says, you be content, but continue to be faithful to God. And that leads, of course, if we have that idea of complacency in life, ultimately it leads us away from God, and we become self-satisfied. In Revelation chapter 3, in the letter to the church of Laodicea, Jesus warned them about being lukewarm and neither hot or cold. They kind of took it easy and they kind of became complacent and in their lives, and they didn't really care whether they did right or not, and kind of coasting along there. He says, "I will spew or I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you have rejected me." You have to make a choice, one or the other. We need to understand that too, and that's why Paul says, "I've learned to be content." He was not complacent. He was still dedicated faithfully to God. Look down in chapter 4, verse 19. Chapter 4 and verse 19, he says there, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That's why Paul said, "I can be content." He says, God will supply every need. Not necessarily everything we want, and wanting it now and when we want it, but when God's will is done, he's going to take care of us. Strength is found as a blessing from God in our return to him every day that we live. The Philippians had helped the Apostle Paul. They had sent over and over money and other kinds of support during his journeys along the way in preaching and teaching the gospel. And so over a long period of time, they had helped him, and he was thanking them for doing so. So God returned the blessing to them also, because they had helped Paul in his work and his missionary journeys. And so they were stronger, not weaker, for giving of what they had to the work that Paul was doing. That goes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as Kyle read a little while ago about the contribution. He says God loves a cheerful giver. But it goes on to say in verse 8, "God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything may abound unto every good work." So notice, if we give, and not only of money at that time, but of our time or ability, whatever it may be that we have to give, it says God will make grace abound unto us. The more we give of ourselves, of whatever we have, the more blessing we're going to receive. Since it is our weakness that usually proves too much for us, maybe too strong for us individually, we need to depend more upon the Lord and the strength that only he can give. We go back again to chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge of all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense in the day of Christ," verse 11, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." If we turn to and follow the ways that these passages tell us to believe in God, to follow him, to accept his way every day, even when things are going bad for us, God's not going to turn his back upon you and me if we will be faithful to him. He's always there for us. And we have an opportunity every day we live to believe him and to obey him. And even when we fall short and we sin, as we all do, he'll forgive, because of his grace and his mercy. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Paul told us in the book of Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 12, he said, "Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." When we are buried with him in baptism, we're raised not because of our goodness and righteousness, but by the working of God through Jesus Christ. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?